Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guest for today is Val Slott. Val wakes up each morning thankful for another day. She has love in her life, works with what brings her joy, and many opportunities to be creative. Val is an elementary school counselor and the tie-dye part of the Women's Art Collective, We Tie-Dye and More. Val loves adding color and spreading joy, and she also loves ice cream. So Val, welcome to the space.
Hey.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So happy you're here.
So am I. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so, so welcome. This is going to be a fun conversation.
I look forward to it.
So Val, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Sure. I love life, and I have been really just thankful to have so much in my life that brings me joy. I work as an elementary school counselor, so I'm around kids all day. I work with a great group of staff members as well. I was thinking about, you know, your creative conversations, and I get to be so creative in my work, and I work other folks who are so creative. I love crafts. I love tie dyeing. I was thinking back and realized that this has been like throughout my life. You know, as a kid, I was always doing some kind of craft project or something with my hands, and just kind of things that bring me joy. I live with my wife of 7 years, and we've been together over 30 years, and I have just beautiful family and friends, and I don't know, just a lot to be grateful for.
I have to say, so I have a history. So Val lives on the block that I grew up on, Val and Julie, and Val is such an incredible bright light. You seriously are this kind of beacon, which I am inspired by, because anytime I'd have a conversation, or it's like you magnetize what you put out. So you put out this beautiful energy and this acceptance and this space, and you're of course going to draw people back to you that way. So thank you for all of that.
Oh, you're welcome. That's so lovely. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And happy anniversary, by the way. I saw the post.
Ah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So we're going to have a very good conversation. I want to acknowledge the people here live. So thank you so much for being here. And you can participate in the conversation by typing in the chat box any questions or comments. So feel free to do that. So here's my would you rather question for you, Val, before we jump in.
Okay.
So would you rather ride in a flying car or ride a unicorn?
Ugh. I think I'd have to go with the unicorn. I just pictured myself, surrounded by magic. So I think I'd have to go with the unicorn.
I needed to ask you that to see what your answer would be. Ooh, surrounded by magic. That would be pretty incredible, wouldn't it? I mean, to just kind of like what there's the horn sticking out to like hold on to the horn or not and just be like fly.
That does sound magical, and yeah, I'm smiling just picturing myself there.
I don't know if there's like a rainbow and glitter going behind or something like
Yes, definitely.
that. Oh my God. Okay. So diving into the first official question. So, how do you define creativity?
So I was thinking a lot about that because I don't know that I ever, had thought of, oh, how do, would I define that? I think to me, creativity is just approaching things with an open mind and an open heart, to just be open to whatever is coming in, whatever's around you. And that's kind of how I think of creativity.
So I want to bring up in our pre-conversation, I found out something interesting, which I didn't know, was that you taught in a juvenile detention hall, bilingual foreign, you were bilingual, you're a foreign language teacher, correct?
I was a bilingual teacher there. I speak Spanish and English, and I was a bilingual teacher there. It was called the Youth Development Center in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, for a long time, for like about 13 years.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about that, because as I was thinking about that, I mean, with the you were young
I was very young.
when you're working with them, so I want to hear more about that, but just basically your perception, what could be perceived as a challenging setting, a stressful setting? I'd love to hear your perspectives on it.
Oh, thank you. I started working there right out of college. The husband of a friend from college called me. He knew I had graduated, and he was teaching there at the Youth Development Center, and he knew they were looking for a bilingual teacher. And so he called. He said, "Why don't you interview for that?" And I thought, all right, I'll go in. And so I get there, and the principal called two students over and said to the two students, "I want you to interview the new teacher, and I want you to conduct the whole interview in Spanish." And I thought, okay. And so I walked. He sent me off with two students, and they conducted an interview. And I think my principal's feeling was that if the students were okay with you coming to work with them, then he was okay with that. And that started 13 years as a bilingual teacher at the Youth Development Center. And yeah, definitely there were challenging times. There were really interesting times. The opportunity to connect with the students and staff, and it was just a really, it was an interesting place to work. And at the time, it was a juvenile facility, and I think I was 20, and some of the kids were approaching 18. And I realized at some point that we were about the same age, and so that, like with the oldest of the kids, and that was just an interesting experience as well.
Tell me what the word interesting means in this context.
I was kind of fresh out of college. Did not really have any ex I mean I my teaching experience at the time was, student teaching, and I was just starting out, and so it was kind of like everything was interesting. The perspectives of the kids, how they had arrived at this school, and the perspectives of the staff and of my principal, and just how he ran the school and how he his focus with the kids was on being respectful. And I was in the school building, and so the kids were taking classes. Some of the kids were looking to get their high school their GEDs for high school equivalency, or just continue their coursework if they weren't quite at that point. And so it was kind of like everything was new, which really did make it interesting, and just how the school was run.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to your definition. I'm finding like open mind, open heart. Mm-hmm. Because it is true, right? It's like when anything is new, you can either approach it. Right now, I'm seeing it in two ways. I'm sure there's more, but it's either you're open to it and you kind of go with it, or you kind of shut down and you're like, my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. Which usually doesn't work out well.
Yeah. I mean, and I think somewhere in there is like being open to what is, and also knowing for yourself, is this something that just kind of feels right for me as well, and what can I offer in whatever situation.
Yeah, you must have heard some amazing stories.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there is. How is it with gaining trust? Was that a challenge?
I feel like it was. I think the kids were like, they were watching and sort of easing into, is this person someone who understands, or someone who I can talk with? I remember once, and this was a long time ago. So I started, it was like 1977, and I remember the kids, I was a bilingual teacher there, and the kids were talking, I was talking to one of the kids, and they wanted to wanted to send something to their family or something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember going to like a shop, I think on Fifth Street in Philadelphia, in an area that was I think predominantly Spanish speaking, and I went to go pick up what this student was looking for, and I didn't really think much of it, other than, we had been talking about it, and I can help facilitate this. And I think it was my principal who said that was something, as you're talking about gaining trust, that was something that sort of made an impression, that for the students to know that we were connected and that this is something that that I did. And it was something that I hadn't really thought through in that way. So it's just kind of an interesting perspective.
Well, isn't it interesting? It's something that when you have that kind of heart, when you have that kind of way about you, you don't think twice. It's like, well, this person requested it. They didn't know how to get it or whatever. They didn't have access to it. So I just did it. It wasn't anything to think about. But then how much it's perceived on the other end, that's when, isn't it? That's when these massive changes happen, and because we don't realize how we affect people.
Yeah, I know we don't. And yeah, so I'm always sort of tuned into, when I can, letting someone else know that, wow, that really meant a lot when you did that or when you said that. And because it may have been something that person just kind of did naturally, and not knowing like what the impact might have been.
So I'm going to put that out there now to listeners. Take this, like, do that today. I challenge you. We challenge you. Mm-hmm. Tell one person just that you're grateful for something and make their day. Either call them. It's better to do it with your voice. rather than just text. But if you need to text, email something, and tell somebody that you appreciate them, because it really is those little things that make a huge impact. Yesterday, I received a text from somebody. I have this multi-author book through my publishing house that I'm offering, and she's somebody new. I met her maybe less than a month ago. It was 3 weeks. And she just messaged me and said, I just want to say congratulations on all you're doing. You're doing an incredible job. I'm so grateful to be part of this. Hmm. And it almost made me, I had to get on a call, but it almost made me want to cry. I was like those little things where you're just really showing your gratitude.
Yeah.
And we just do what we do, being the people that we are, whether you perceive that as good or bad or whatever it is, but and often don't really think much about it.
Yep.
And it's funny, I had, when I was teaching in this one particular school, it was middle and high school, and I wondered how it felt from you, being in this, since you were maybe 2 years older than the kids that you were working with. Because I personally didn't feel, in all my years of teaching, I really kind of worked with younger kids, adults, and kind of skipped the middle high school age until I had my own kids.
Oh, okay.
Because for some reason, for me, I felt like I could deal with that once I had my kids. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just for me, that was that kind of perception. Mm-hmm. But one of the kids in the school, he was in eighth grade, and that class was a nightmare. They literally made me cry. I did leave, and they saw the effect that they had on me, which you never want to show that, but I was weak. They weakened me. And I saw him 2 years later after that school shut down. I went to another school, and then I went to a play where this kid happened to be in it. And he saw me. He's like, "Oh, Mrs. Citron." He's like, "Oh my God, you were the best art teacher." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You were horrible to me." He's like, "I know." He's like, "I'm sorry. You would have never known that I actually really liked you." He's like, "I thought you were cool and chill."
That must have been so cool to hear, especially having had such a difficult time with that particular class or that particular student. Just so nice to hear that. Wow, this student appreciated what I was doing, and that's really cool.
But I think it kind of goes back to that word perception, mm-hmm. because we don't know. We're not in other people's heads. I mean, there could be two people in the same room witnessing the same thing and have two totally different perspectives.
Yeah. Definitely.
So it's like being open.
Yeah.
So tell me, so then you were doing this. You did that for 13 years.
I did, yeah.
And then, but tell me about the language piece first, actually. So was language always something that you were interested in?
Yeah, I always loved languages. And when I started high school, I started high school in ninth grade at a school where I was living at the time, and then my family moved, and I think the curriculum was maybe a little different, or some things had overlapped when I was going into 10th grade. So when I went to pick courses, they were saying, "Well, you had a similar class last year, so you don't need to take this one, so pick something else." And I loved languages, so I was signed up for a Spanish class because I had started learning Spanish in junior high school. And then I picked another language class. I thought, "Oh, maybe I'll start learning French as well." So I did that. I did that through high school. And when I went to college, I wanted to study education and study elementary education in particular. And the school I went to asked that you that your major be in another area of interest, and that you do all the education courses and credits and things like that. And I thought, well, I love languages. Maybe I'll be a Spanish major. So I was a Spanish major in college, and I also studied education and got certified to teach. And I spent a year in Spain during college, which was kind of life changing, and it was just this kind of amazing experience. And I just learned to speak Spanish, and I just loved being able to speak another language. And then I got interested in learning sign language. And so I took a lot of classes. I volunteered for, about 20 years in an adult literacy program in a school in Philadelphia. And I just love languages. I love being able to communicate. And in my current school, where I've been for the last about a little over 30 years, I'm the school counselor there, an elementary school counselor. And I also have gotten connected with a lot of families who are Spanish speaking, and I've become a little bit of a liaison for families when there are questions or like a need for information or things like that. And so that's been kind of cool. So I've been really grateful that I speak Spanish. So,
it's a wonderful language to be able to communicate in. Our son is, Jared is fluent. And the way that he learned is by being immersed. Nice. He'd never taken a Spanish class. And when he went to a different high school, within 6 months, all of a sudden I heard him talking Spanish on the phone. I'm like, who are you? Like, what great. Just, like, it wasn't just in little syllables. It was just rolling all together. Aww. And he had to learn it because he needed to know he wasn't being talked about.
That's great.
So it was like survival mode.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
So, yeah. And it's funny because now he uses it in his job, and it's, you know, he's this white boy that he'll walk up to the door and he starts speaking Spanish, and they look at him and immediately say, why do you speak Spanish? And with a really good accent and everything. But when you went to Spain, so that full immersion, did that just take you next level?
Oh yeah, definitely. Cause I had been studying Spanish for years, and I could understand what, like in my class, I could understand what people are saying. I could read and write in Spanish, and I could haltingly get my ideas across. But the speaking part was, I think that's what came, the ease of speaking was what came last for me, and just being immersed, and I just felt so much more comfortable and became much more fluent in speaking.
So I want to go back to the juvenile center for 1 minute, because what I called this podcast, Let's Explore Adding Color and Spreading Joy. Mm-hmm. So how did you feel like you could spread joy within that space?
That is a good question. I think for me, it's just kind of being myself. Temperament-wise, I'm just pretty full of joy. You know, kind of my baseline is joyful. So I think it's just being myself. And I don't know if I felt at the time, I was just trying to get my footing and understand about teaching and connecting with the kids and the staff. And I don't know if I noticed that in myself yet, or had kind of come into that in myself yet, the spreading of joy. I think I've just been myself and
yeah,
and treat people well, and you know, just smile a lot.
I'm sure, and it's not coming from a bragging point of view, but please, I want to hear from you. Like, during that time, were you getting feedback that the students were feeling any certain way, like more relaxed or more open around you because of your temperament?
Not necessarily at the time. I don't think I was aware of that at the time. So I don't know. So I would say I don't know that I was like getting that kind of feedback or.
So let's move ahead to, so now you've been at your job in Happer Horsham for 30 years.
Yeah.
But when we spoke prior, you said when you walked in, it just felt like the sun came out.
It did. I walked into it. I moved to an elementary school, and yeah, I just felt like the sun came out. That was just my reaction to walking in the building. And this was I felt like I had found a home.
Yeah. And you will not retire, will you?
It's not in my plans. I get asked that often. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because why? I mean, you love what you do.
Exactly. I keep thinking if I were to retire, I'd just be on the phone calling school like, oh, anybody need anything? Do you want me to come in? Can I volunteer for something? I thought, yeah, I might as well just stay and keep working.
Right, exactly.
I keep thinking, where would I have this much fun?
So funny. It's this like cultural idea of, well, you do this and then you retire and then you, you know, move on with that. It's like, but if you love what you do and you feel at home and you're making an impact, then why do you need to do that?
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. So let's kind of segue into, you've mentioned some things, but let's talk about how you incorporate creativity into your own life a little bit more. So how do you do that?
At school, I feel like there's just a lot of opportunities to be creative, just in how we interact with each other, how to connect with the kids. I find that sometimes I'm talking with kids and for kind of sitting, working on some kind of project. Like, it just makes talking. Just seems to ease a conversation. You know, ease a conversation. Yeah. And so we're always. I have like lots of supplies and things. So kids come in and we just talk and do crafty kinds of things. I had one student who used to. He used to wander into my room. He'd look around and he'd say, can I have one of those? Can I have three of those? And I could see his mind working, like he was about to create something. And he'd go around looking for supplies. And then, you know, so I'd pull out whatever it was he needed. And then he'd go off and create. And it was just like a beautiful thing to see. So, but at school, and I, you know, and I work with a lot of creative folks at school as well, who are always, you know, just coming up with ways to make education and make the kids' days just be filled with joy and be able to reach kids in different ways. And so school is just really, it's a very creative place. And then outside of school, yeah, I always love to like make things. Like I was always making, like as a kid, I had a friend who always had the lanyard string, and he'd be selling it by the yard, and we'd all be sitting around making keychains and lanyards or making beaded rings or using like telephone wire and making wire things. I don't know, we were always doing something. And then a number of years ago, at school, we'd have field day, and the kids would be on like different color teams and do games and stuff. And they would tie-dye their shirts in whatever color it was for the teams. And then there were, for a number of years, there were the moms of several of the kids at school, two moms in particular, would always come and help with the tie-dyeing, and then they'd make shirts. If any teachers wanted to bring in a shirt, any staff members, if you wanted shirts in like all the team colors. And so I would hang out and I'd be watching them tie-dye. And one year, a friend at school said, you know, it'd be fun to have some tie-dye bandanas. And that was like all I needed to hear, because I had been eyeing this tie-dye kit in an art supply store. And I thought that's all I needed to hear. And boom, I was out the door and I picked up the kit and I thought, oh, I think I'm going to make some bandanas. And an empire started from there.
You have not stopped since.
I have not stopped since.
That's amazing. So it started with the bandanas, uh-huh. And then it went to the shirts, and now you're doing shows, right?
Yeah, we've done some festivals, and yeah, it's been really fun, and I think I have the most fun when people come over and tie-dye stuff at my house. I have a whole setup here, and I find that to be just really fun, like just watching it happen for other people.
So what is it specifically about the tie-dye? I mean, I guess I'm analyzing, but I'm just curious from your perspective, like, what is it that there, because I heard your voice get really excited when you started to talk about it. Like, your pitch totally changed.
I know, I feel it in my body too. I love color. So there's a lot of color going on, and it's messy, and it's, I don't know. I'm outside, usually outside, tie dyeing. And when people are over, you know, we're just having fun. And I feel like it's hard for me not to have a good time tie dyeing. I don't think I ever have not had a good time. So it's just fun. But I think I like the mess and the color and just trying out different patterns or different color combinations, mixing colors, and then thinking, oh, I wonder how I did that, because I like that one, but I have no idea how I made that happen, and you know, things like that.
Exactly. It's that spontaneity. And one of the listeners said it's never the same thing twice.
Right. Exactly. Really, I love that too. Yeah. Never the same thing twice. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's fun. So I've twice in the last few days had people over. Actually, in the last couple of weeks, but twice in the last few days, had people over and they were just making all kinds of things. And it's just fun. It's fun to see how it turned out. And I don't know, it's just fun. And I like sharing the things that make me smile, you know, in case they bring joy to anybody else. And if someone comes over and they're like not into tie dyeing, but they came with the, they brought their kids or they came with a friend, you know, there's always snacks and just people around to talk to, and just a good time.
It's really creating this safe space.
Yeah.
So it's this safe space where people are hanging out, you're outside, you're working with color, you're just creating these spontaneous pieces, which you're never going to get the same thing twice.
Right.
And it's really exploration. Like, you're just exploring. Like you said, the colors mixed together. You had no idea how you did it. You don't remember like how long it stayed in the dye for, or which colors touched each other or whatever like that. But yeah, what an amazing process.
Yeah, it's very fun.
So many analogies there. So before we move on, because I want to hear more, I know you have more to say. Somebody did ask a question. They said, how does Val use creativity to solve problems or offer assistance to others?
Oh, I like that. So I think I'm mostly in terms of solving problems, I like to listen to what's going on. And if there are different viewpoints, I like to take it all in. And more help with thinking it through than like offering a solution. I like the collaborative part of figuring things out.
Yeah. Well said. And I would agree that listening, and again, creating that space where somebody feels safe, where they can, and like you said, you have all these materials in your office, mm-hmm. and people can just feel free to just create and invent. And oftentimes when people's hands are moving, mm-hmm. then their mouths can move yeah, at definitely. A much more relaxed way, or they're not talking, but as they ease into being more relaxed and they're working more from a heart-centered space, then they'll be more expressive.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah, that whole can you know that whole art room experience is, mm-hmm. is when you get somebody excited, like
yeah.
about the materials, and like I'm just thinking off the top of my head, like oil pastels were something that were yeah. really fun because they're like paint, they mix together, mm-hmm. they're easy to clean, they can really explore with them, and it's very manageable. It's not like taking out paint is fun too and a whole exploration, yeah. but with the oil pastels, it'd be something in a space that was very manageable and very quick. Mm-hmm. And building with blocks, making sculptures. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yep.
Oh, how many stories you can tell with that. So tell me more. So we touched on things, ways that you work it on in the workspace with tie-dye. What other things do you enjoy doing in your life?
Well, in crafting kinds of things, I like string, like making string jewelry, and I like beading also, and so I like just making things. Or if I'm looking for something to eat, I'll rummage around in the refrigerator, like, oh, let's see, maybe we can mix up all this and this and that and put this in with that and make some kind of concoction that I may be the only one who would enjoy, but you know, some kind
Oh my God, that's a huge thing. Well, I do that all the time. Sometimes our daughter specifically gets annoyed just because she's like, I wanted this particular thing. I'm like, well, you work with what you have and then you create.
Exactly.
And I don't feel like running to the store. And yeah, but she's gotten much more creative with that. But yeah, there's a total art of kind of going with the flow and maybe I'll take this spice and maybe I'll mix this together.
Yep.
See what it tastes like. Oh my gosh. One time I made rice. Uh-huh. We were making specifically because when our son went to Costa Rica, he's like, because he's very picky. He's literally the bland diet. He's 21. He's gotten much better as he's gotten older, but still there's very much of a tan diet kind of going on mm-hmm. with some vegetables and stuff thrown in. But he like loved the food over there. So we're like, okay, so how do we incorporate more? Because everything was so fresh and just yeah. amazing. So we were making this very specific kind of rice, and I completely misread it, and I put in like double the amount of salt or something. Well, yeah, I was like, okay, we have to ditch that only because we're just gonna have to have a gallon of water with every taste of it.
Right. Yeah.
So be open to the mistakes that happen.
Exactly. And just
laugh.
Yeah, laugh and learn, and you know, try it again.
So tell me about some more things beyond like the generally artsy stuff. Is there, do you like travel? Do you like music? Yeah. Do you like dance? Do you like yoga?
Much of the above, you know, I just love to be out walking. I like hiking, and I like to travel. I love to read. I love movies. I love just, you know, hanging out with family and friends. Swimming. I don't know. I like all kinds of things to do.
Tell me these two things. Travel. What place jumps out at you of a place that you really enjoyed?
There have been so many. We took a trip to a few years ago to Maine to mm-hmm. like the Acadia area, and it was just such a nice trip. It was beautiful. We did a lot of hiking. We were staying at a place on like on a bay, and it just was lovely. Mm-hmm. And that was one of awesome trips. I don't know. I got to travel around Europe when I lived in Spain. I've been to Israel a few times. I don't know. I loved hiking like out west, like in the Grand Canyon and Bryce and Zion National Parks and Canyonlands. And I don't know. I don't know that I've been places I thought, oh, that was terrible.
I know. It was kind of an annoying question. It's like, yeah, that sucked.
Yeah, I think I just, you know, it's like nice seeing different places and having different experiences. Yeah. Being out and about.
Yeah, I'd love to go to the Grand Canyon, actually.
Yeah, that was something.
And I've always wanted to go to Montana.
Yeah, that would be cool.
It just seems like it would just be beautiful. And Maine is gorgeous.
It's beautiful, yeah. And my sister lives in the Pacific Northwest, so she's in Oregon, and that is just spectacular as well. And yeah, there's many, many beautiful places in our country, in other countries. Yeah, just lots to see.
It really is about being in that space of being present and seeing it, isn't it?
Yeah. And sometimes it's just like being home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've realized I'm pretty much, I do love being home.
Yeah.
I do like, this whole thing with our cats, it's just kind of like, our cats really care when we're not here.
Aw, yeah.
They really care. Yeah. And so Arthur and I went up to Canada pre-children, and we were in Montreal, and then we went to Quebec, and we just got to Quebec, and it's this beautiful space. And we looked at each other and said, want to go home? I miss the cats.
I miss the cats.
We're like, oh my God, this is so pathetic. But at least I found somebody who feels like me. So that's a good thing.
That is really nice. Yeah.
It really, really is. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I had another question. Oh, ice cream. What is your favorite flavor? Because you put it in the bio here. What kind
of? I know. It just came to me as I was writing the bio. It's like, oh, I love ice cream.
It is good ice cream. Doesn't have to be. It could be your top five flavors.
My top five, which I usually like to eat all at once. You know, I like to mix flavors. I like chocolate peanut butter. I like something. Anything with brownies in them or moose tracks kind of flavor. I like ice cream with stuff in it mixed mm-hmm. in. And then I like to mix all the ice creams and enjoy all the flavors. And then sometimes toss in a couple of M&Ms or maybe a little bit of brownie. I don't know.
For a little bit of crunch, a little M&M
crunch. Yeah, sometimes
crunch.
A little bit of crunch with the M&Ms. My one friend and I had a favorite flavor a long time ago from Haagen-Dazs. It was vanilla peanut butter swirl. And then they stopped making it. And we were a little perplexed thinking, had we not eaten enough of it that they would keep it in rotation? but I used to like to mix that with their chocolate chip as well.
There definitely is an art form to the balancing of flavors, isn't there?
Yes.
So are you a mixer to where it turns into soup and do it that way or no?
If it starts melting, yes, I will mix it together. I am a bit of a mixer, yes.
So audience, tell us, what is your flavor of ice cream that you prefer or flavors? You're making me want to get ice cream. I think I'm going to have to get ice cream at some point today.
Yes, me too.
I like mint chocolate chip is like my go-to. Mm-hmm. It's like, but then it's like, is it the white kind or the green kind?
Just, there are many options.
There are many options. So many ways to go. What did so one listener said moose tracks or creamsicle.
Oh, yeah, I do love moose tracks and creamsicle. That's a nice combo. Yeah,
that is a nice combo. A little bit of that kind of, I don't know, the subtleness to it, but kind of like the boom of the orange flavor.
I know. Good stuff.
Very. Do you make ice cream by any chance?
So I have an ice cream maker, and I have tried it out. But it's not something I've done a lot.
Yeah, we had Arthur. So my husband has a show called Ball Guy in the Kitchen on YouTube.
Oh, right. I've heard about that. Yeah.
And he likes to do like out of the box kind of stuff. So he made a cheese ice cream. The kids were completely grossed out. I remember Jared or Skylar went, they're like, oh, ice cream. And they tasted it. And they're like, what the hell is this? Like, oh, Dad made some cheese ice cream. It's a little.
Sometimes you get an idea and it's like, I just need to go with this.
Yeah. But it's that savory, which I forget what he put it on. He put some other stuff on top of it. But yeah, it's like that, the sweet and the savory.
Uh-huh.
So creamsicle from Coors. I never had that one. Did you have that one?
I have not. But that's Coors is like the Boardwalk soft ice cream, I think.
Yeah.
That's lots of deliciousness.
Yeah, yeah. I see it in my head. And it would be nice to be on the Boardwalk today, wouldn't it?
Lovely. That would be very lovely.
Oh, gosh. Well, as we're getting to the top of the hour, we are getting to our last question, which is, so why do you think creativity is important?
I think it just gives us a chance to express ourselves and be ourselves and just, yeah, I think like for expressing ourselves.
Yep.
And I like the connections made when being creative together.
Yeah. It breaks down a lot of walls, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's interesting. I've seen so many scenarios where it's been kind of like a setup space where it's been like a parent-child kind of workshop that I've done. Mm-hmm. Or when things just kind of happen and you're hanging out and people are creating together.
Yeah.
And it's just seeing the personalities come through. At first, there can be from the adult kind of a way of saying, well, it needs to be this way. And there's that kind of aspect of the control. And there's the kid that'll kind of give into that. And then the kid that'll also kind of be like, it's mine. Leave me alone.
Anything can happen.
And then I found myself in many situations saying to the parents, step away from the child. Step away and let them create. And then you can kind of come back in, or in other scenarios, kind of just setting up a space saying, you know, this is a space where there's no mistakes and allow people to do things and all that.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. Sometimes someone will come over and say, you know what, I haven't, you know, my tie-dye never comes out well. Or I don't know how to tie-dye or things like that. I'll say, well, we're here. We can make it happen and be yourself and dig in if you'd like.
There we go. And just kind of like, just do it, experience it. And the more times you get practice with it, then you'll learn different techniques. You can study things and look at some YouTube videos, or if that makes you feel better, some people that's helpful to them. Other people, it's just kind of the process of going through it, just getting the experience to figure out, you know, how to get better at it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, Val, it has been amazing speaking with you. I so appreciate you being in this space.
Oh my gosh. Thanks so much for asking me and for having me on and talking with me. This has just been so delightful.
Oh, I'm so glad. And I don't know, listeners, if you can hear like feel her light coming through.
So,
really the joyfulness, really in everything, like in what we spoke about, it just comes through in so many different ways. And just keep wanting to say that as you create a space where that safety of people feeling comfortable, it's just, you can have such a huge impact. So before we leave, is there any final words that you would like to offer to people just for a little word of wisdom?
Just that you are beautiful in just exactly as you are.
There we go. Do you hear that, everybody? Hear that and accept it. So this space is all about inspiring, sharing stories, and connecting. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread the word and we can uplift people, because we've always needed it, but especially in these times, we need it more than ever. And I have a publishing house as well and a multi-author book called Creativity Is Whatever You Want It to Be. And if you are interested, please reach out. And I would love to have a chat with you about it, because it goes to number one on Amazon and such beautiful souls in the space. So again, I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be talking to you soon. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.